Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Highbury Squad. It is number 44. Woohoo! Can't believe we've done 44 shows. I feel about 88, let alone 44. Anyway, welcome everyone. We've got a full packed house tonight. I've got my sister in La La Land. Hiya.
Hello, and apparently I am La La in the land today, according to you.
Ah, oh, La La. We have Super Kev.
Hi, Amanda. Hi, Sophie.
Super,
hi, everybody.
Super Kevin Campbell.
Good to be back.
Hello.
And joining us is someone that I went on a pod with and I was a guest, and now he's our guest, Fergus from Guns and Yellow Ribbons podcast. Welcome, Fergus.
Hello, Amanda. Hello, Sophie. It's an honour, Super Kev.
Aww. Nice to meet you, Fergus. Thanks for coming on, mate.
You know something? We share a birthday.
Oh yes, Fergus. I forgot to tell him.
Fergus, aren't we? We're the top people.
It's the best day of the year to be born.
Yeah, exactly. I know that, mate.
I think Kevin's older than you, though, isn't he?
Yeah. He was born the year. He was 1935 or 1934, 36. Yeah.
Well, Fergus, welcome to our pod, and thank you for having me as a guest on yours. It was really good fun, except for the buzzing.
It was absolutely hilarious. If you haven't listened to it. It is side-splitting. Yeah.
Wherever I go, there's always an issue. Funny. Right, so we've got loads to talk about, because the last time we spoke, me and Sophie had Alan on, who, Mr. Alan Myers, who we love, is a toffee. So God knows how many games we've had since then, but we can't go over all of them. I would just like to mention that it was magnificent against Man United at the Emirates. Really enjoyed that one. And since we've spoken, it really, Arteta came in at Everton, didn't he? Sat in the stands and then 48 hours later was our manager, sort of thing. So we can talk from them. So we are really going to focus on our squad today. So Sophie, what I want to say to you is, how do you feel in a nutshell about what Arteta has done?
Well, I think that most Arsenal fans, sensible Arsenal fans, would agree that compared to where we've been and, you know, where we're at right now, it's a little bit night and day, but still some major issues in between. So have there been evolutions and progressions? Absolutely. I think one of the toughest things for Arteta that he's seeing is that the team wasn't conditioned, and KC can talk to this a lot better than me, in a sense that we're doing all the right things in a game, but we're not doing all the right things yet for 90 minutes. And I think that that will come over time in terms of his training methods, how he's trying to get everybody up to scale with their fitness. We start really well. We kind of fade out in the second half. We're not mentally engaged yet for 90 minutes. But when you look, Amanda, at the small wins that he's had, I think that, you know, Luis has been better. Even Socrates has been better.
We're going to go into that.
But overall, what I think he's done is change the atmosphere, a little bit of the culture so far. Everyone's on the same page and it feels a little bit more united that we're marching in the right direction and we're trying to work towards common goals. And he said it himself that those are the small things that he's trying to fix first. The football, the style, the results, they'll start coming a little bit better. But for all those Arsenal fans out there who poo-pooed Arteta's appointment, and let me say, I believe that you guys wanted Allegri and you wanted like Ancelotti and some of these other managers to come in. What Arteta is showing is that he's been studying the game for years. He's been working under Pep. He's been masterful in terms of watching Wenger, and he's been preparing for this role. And I think that we're in a great, great position going forward under him. I'm very, very hopeful and optimistic.
Yes, and just put you straight. We may have wanted Allegri, but we all wanted Arteta when he was there. I was so happy that he signed for us. Anyway, Kev, what do you think? Agree with Soph, or is there something else?
I agree that there's been progress. We've seen the team change style. We've seen the team be a lot more aggressive, which we wanted, especially at the Emirates. results haven't all gone our way, which we know. We've kept a couple of clean sheets, which is nice as well. We've seen certain players who were struggling under Emery and a little bit of Freddie, like new players, and it's welcome. It's obviously it was great. Everything kind of came together against Manchester United at home, which is very good. I think the narrative that Mikel Arteta said in his press conferences, I think, really got a lot of Arsenal fans on side. The non-negotiables about fight and tackling and running and all that kind of thing, which should be a given, that wasn't a given under Unai Emery, has been proven to be, you know, that non-negotiable thing that you have to do if you're going to play in the team. Because if you don't do that, you won't play. And then we're seeing certain players who weren't putting it in before actually putting it in. And it's welcome. So I don't want to go too deep. I know we're going to talk about certain players and certain things that I've said about the back four being uncoachable and all this kind of thing. But we're going to cover that later on. But all in all, Mikel Arteta, there is shoots of progress, which is fantastic.
There is definitely something about the press conferences, Kev, because I never watched one with Emery. I wasn't interested. I like every time he speaks, I just turn on, if I'm on social media, I'm listening to it. I'm watching Sky Sports. Every time he comes on, I want to listen to him. What I love about him is that he seems very, very hard, which is what we need. Anyway, Fergus, you've heard what Kev said. You've heard what Soph said. I'm happy with everything at the moment and it's progressing. What do you feel?
I can't argue with anything anybody has said so far. I think Arteta speaks a fantastic game. I love his non-negotiables. For a guy who's 37, he speaks like he's got the brain of a 60-year-old who's been working in football for years. He's very, very intelligent, comes across very measured and very focused. I really, really like that. Am I convinced with him? Not 100% yet, because we've had now four games with 45-minute performances. And even at Palace, I know we'll go into the game itself, but even at Palace, we had a 30-minute performance and then we dropped off a lot. So what annoys me, and Kev, you touched on about players, is why do you get players like, just pick any player you want, Ozil, for example, or Xhaka, and other players that won't play for Emery or won't play for Freddie, and yet again, they play for Mikel. If you're paid 10 grand a week or 350 grand a week, it shouldn't make a blind bit of difference. And I'm not picking on any particular player in isolation, but why do those players all of a sudden just change their attitude and start playing again? I really don't understand it. You do your job. But am I bought in to Mikel? 100%. I love what I see, and fingers crossed, it is a successful and a diamond that we have found in the rough.
Kev, can you answer that?
Can I answer what about the players?
Yeah, why they play for one and not another? I mean, I can answer, but go on, because you've been an ex-player and everything.
Well, I just think sometimes from a player's point of view, the message from the manager isn't a positive one. Now, with the likes of Mesut Ozil, let's take Ozil, for instance. Mesut Ozil under Emery, one minute the team was going to be built around him. The next minute it was, he's not good enough to play away games. Then he was back in the team. Then he was out. Then he was left out. He weren't fit. He was ill. He had back problems. All of these issues came up under Emery, right? He weren't even going to be part of the club. He was on his way out, XYZ. Mikel Arteta comes in. First thing he starts saying is Mesut Ozil's going to play. He's a quality player. He knows what he can do. And we're gonna build around him. So that's going to give Mesut Ozil confidence. And right now, yeah, he didn't play too well against Palace, but in the previous games, we haven't seen that Mesut Ozil for such a long, long time. Someone who's, when he loses the ball, is reacting and is tracking, who's putting people under pressure. That's all we ask for. And that's one of the non-negotiables of Mikel Arteta. So Mesut Ozil, I don't know why he couldn't put it all in under Emery, but he's certainly doing it now.
It's very, very true. But also, I'd like to say from a different perspective, Fergus, if I've got a boss that motivates me and wheels me on and puts an arm around my shoulder and says how brilliant I am naturally going to work harder. For then, for a boss that couldn't care less, that doesn't appreciate me, I think in the real world as well as football, it's the same thing. I know what you're saying, you know, it's a little bit out of order. They didn't play for Emery, but maybe they didn't feel motivated. Listen, I tweeted yesterday that Arteta seems to know his first 11, his best 11 in 10 seconds. Emery didn't even know it in 18 months. I think that's an issue.
Agreed. I think using that analogy, though, if I had a boss like that, I'd want to go and work even harder to go, sod you. I don't know what the rules are on here. Sod you in the sense of, like, I can do my job. I'm a professional. I'm an elite athlete and an elite footballer. I would have thought they would be at an elite level and beyond the manager. I don't know.
I still think that no matter how successful you are in life, you always still need a mentor, someone to look up to. And I think that, and by the way, there are no rules on this podcast, Fergus. It's a bit like Moulin Rouge. There's no rules. Just don't fall in love. Okay. That's the only rule here. But I'm not
on Twitter that much.
I feel the same. I've worked with, filmmakers at the highest level at Fox and Sony and stuff like that, and had bosses where I've been demotivated and completely motivated. And it does have an effect on your mindset. I completely agree with Amanda, like bosses who kind of put your arm around you and show you progression. They show you a roadmap, a path to success. I actually tweeted about that yesterday in terms of understanding what the common goal is. And I think it makes a massive difference. And Emery, a little bit like some other managers, don't have that. And you could see the history of his coaching. It was the same in Spain at PSG. He was never an arm around you type player. Arteta has learned from a couple of different professors and masters, and it's in himself. Just knowing from the experiences I've had with, you know, a family member of mine whose kids went to school with my cousin's kids, you know, he's a good guy. He used to invite my little cousin to Arsenal family day when they play football with the kids. And, you know, my little cousin got to meet, you know, Giroud and Ozil and all these people. And Arteta's just like that. He's a good person, and he's very inclusive, and he's always going to try and be that inspirational figure. It's just him as a human. When you add that element into the fact that he's a coach, I cannot tell you how lucky we are that we have him and that he didn't stay at Manchester City to inherit the mantle from Pep Guardiola, Amanda.
And I think, Sophie, it's really good that he worked with Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But also Arsene Wenger as well. Yeah. So he has been in touch with two of the best managers in the world.
Well, Fergus, that's what I was just about to say to you when Sophie just said my name, because I was going to say that. You said he's got a mind of a 60, 70-year-old or whatever it is. Well, he's worked with Wenger. He's worked with Pep. So he's had two of the most, you know, experienced football minds that you can have. So for me, he's ready. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's a shame he didn't come in before Emery. He may not have been ready 18 months ago. Sometimes the time isn't right and sometimes the time's right. So I think we're all very happy with how we're doing. What I would like to say, and I've seen a lot of this, is it's true. We are playing for 45 minutes at a time, the first half or second half, and we are fading off. He does need to get their fitness up. We need to be able to play 90 minutes. We really, really do. It's coming. Unfortunately, yesterday, which we'll just touch on in a second, it just seemed like first part of the second half, we just didn't really turn up again. But what I would say on a positive note about Palace away, if that would have been 4 or 5 months ago, we would have lost that game. We would have lost our heads. Aubameyang going off, down to 10 men, we would have lost the game. So I'm quite pleased that we came away with a point. And I think that we can move on from this. It's never easy going to the Palace. I don't know why, but it never is easy for us, even though they're not playing great at the moment. But what I'd like to do, we've got quite a few questions, and we always miss our questions. And if people have like taking the time to tweet us, I think we should answer before we go on to anything else. So the first question we've got is from Karen Russell at Kazza9668. She said, hiya, my question for this amazing podcast is, do you think that Mikel can make us compete for the league either next season or possibly the season after? Kev, can you answer that one?
Sorry, could you say that again, please, darling?
So she said, hiya, my question for this amazing pod is, do you think that Mikel can make us compete for the league either next season or possibly the season after?
I think he can. What has to happen is there has to be serious backing by the board for him to get the players in that he needs. I think you're seeing the way he wants to play is an aggressive style, and the players haven't been trained in that way. And you could see with the maximum we last is probably an hour, and then we really start to tail off a bit. So you need that pre-season in, because to be able to play that, you've got to train that way. And it's so important to get a pre-season in. But he's got to be backed. He has to be backed. There's still little bits of unbalance in the team that need addressing. There's still that defensive part, although I know we're going to cover it, and Socrates and Louise and stuff have been doing well. We still need younger legs in there, younger players, a bit more aggressive, who can be playing week in, week out. I think that's so important moving forward. But can he? I think he can turn us into challengers for sure.
Okay, and I'd give it a couple of seasons, definitely not next season. All right, Soph, question for you from Gary_AFC. Do you think the board will back him with the money needed? Also, would you like to see Grealish at our club?
So great questions today, by the way, Amanda. Lots of really good ones coming in from people. I think the board have to back him, because I think there'll be anarchy if they don't. I also think that we don't have a lot of cash. I don't think we're going to see us spending money in January. I think we'll see us trying to move players on, bring some money in the summer and make those kind of moves. Pepe right now, 72 million. There's a lot of money that we paid for him. And then when you see kind of like youngsters like Martinelli coming in, Saka, I think that we have a lot of really good young players. A few of them maybe should go out on loan to get more experience. I think maybe Martinelli, Saka, and Rhys Nelson are probably the ones that are ready to really be in the first team. I'm still unsure about Willock. So I hope the board do back him. I hope he took the job on the proviso that they would. And then what was the second part of the question?
Would you take Grealish at the club?
So I think Grealish versus Madison argument is hilarious, isn't it? I mean, Leicester got completely outplayed by Southampton yesterday. And right now, Villa are getting thumped by Manchester City. I think players like Madison and Grealish have a lot of promise. I think Grealish is the kind of player that would probably operate much at a higher level surrounded by better players. Is he the first person that I would buy? No. But I also would like to see Arsenal kind of reinvest in some British talent, if you like, because I think it's important for us to still have that connection, of course, because we're a London club. So I really would like to have we had that crop of hope that never really worked out. So if we can get a couple of really talented players in that are British, I would love that, because, you know, we're a London club. So that's not xenophobic. That's just, I think, at the heart of Arsenal and the type of club that we've been over the years, we've always had a little bit of a British core to help with that culture understanding.
And they understand what it is to be an Arsenal player. They understand the culture, as you say. Yeah,
that's true. Okay, so you were at the Palace yesterday. We watched it. It was really strange, you know, Fergus, because obviously I go to the Emirates every game and quite a few away matches. I haven't done many aways this year, but watching at home is very different when there's a VAR decision. I knew that Aubameyang was going to get that red card. We all did at home, quicker than you lot did in the place, because you lot didn't even know what was going on. So I've got a question here from Guna Nation. Did Oba deserve a red card for his tackle against Palace? Fergus, just go yes or no.
No.
No. Kev?
It's a red, yep.
Soph?
100% a red card.
She can't just say yes, can you, darling? You're too la-la-landish.
I like to break the rules. Too la-la-landish. Yeah. No, all I added was 100%. I mean, you Brits are getting really snooty. Maybe it's the Meghan Harry thing. It's getting to everybody.
Anyway, now. Right. So I say yes as well. Fergus, why no?
Because if you saw it in real time, as I did in the ground, it was opposite me, I'm front of the dugouts. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like any intent. It just went in. It didn't look as bad as it does when you see the slowed down VAR stills. The referee thought like I did. He thought it was a yellow card. It looked like a yellow card. I agree with Kev, Sophie and yourself. When I see it on VAR slowed down and stopped and you can see the angle he goes in and the way the player's ankle goes, it looks horrific. And we all agreed after the game that it was a red card. But you asked me there and then at the time, what did I think? And I thought, no, it was a yellow.
Interestingly, you know, this intent thing doesn't matter anymore. I thought it still did, but it doesn't. If you can danger an opponent, then it's a red card. So it doesn't matter whether it's intent or not. There was no intent from him.
No, he was absolutely
distraught after as well. But
he was. But Amanda, what I mean about intent is like you could see that he just went in. There was no power behind it. It was a striker's tackle, wasn't it? It was just a poor tackle.
Okay, so let's just turn it around. If that was done on Aubameyang, we'd all be going ballistic, wouldn't we? I was a bit with you. As it happened, I was like, oh, for God's sake, there's no intent. It's just a late tackle. I was like, how can that be a red? I knew it when they went to VAR and it took about 3 hours. But I just
That's pathetic, by the way.
Yeah, of course it is. And it's terrible. You don't know what the hell's going on in the grounds. I don't want to go to the Emirates.
Crystal Palace is even worse. We're the away fans. As I was in Block R, so you're down by the corner flag. Yep. We couldn't even, and Lee Judges was on AFTV and he was talking, we can't see the screen. You cannot see the screen. It's dreadful.
It is. Okay, so one more for you, Fergus. Hilsey the Gooner. My question is, why is at Essex Gunner not as hungover as me today?
Because I stopped drinking and I didn't stay in London Bridge drinking Guinness, Trevor, till God knows what. I am a responsible pisshead.
Okay, right. I've got something else that is quite interesting. We're just going to go through the players as well. Another one from Gooner Nation. It looks like Arteta has convinced Xhaka to stay at the club. What are the squad's thoughts on this? Are you pleased, Soph, that if it does and he has convinced him, would you be pleased?
Answer me this question. I'll reverse it to you guys. Who is better right now as an option than Xhaka in our midfield? There is nobody.
No, but that's not the question.
No, but that's the point. The point is
he may find someone.
He needs to stay between now and the summer. If he chooses to leave in the summer, that's fine. But in terms of Arsenal still maybe being able to get into the top four, I think we're a bit far away from that now, but anything can happen between now and May. I think he's the best option. And I think when you look at different midfield scenarios, whether it's Willock playing, whether it's Guendouzi playing, all we need to know is that as long as Torreira's playing, who's playing with him, right? Because Torreira's rediscovered his form under Arteta and he's been played in his natural position. So absolutely, it's important for Xhaka to stay. You know how I feel about Xhaka. I think that it was disgusting the way our fans treated him. I just don't think that, he's been bullied. He tries. He's a leader on the pitch. You could see what happened when Reece Nelson got substituted and the way he went over to him and spoke to him. I've said this to you guys before, having met him and spent time with him, I can see why he was chosen as a potential leader in this team. Now, is he who we need long term in order to really challenge and win things again? Probably not. But for now, in terms of our speed and who we are as a team, Xhaka is very important to Arsenal. He didn't have a great game yesterday, but he's doing things and putting himself in positions, bullying a little bit, making bad tackles, yes. But, you know, a lot of the times we've been criticised for not having that bully mentality a little bit. We've had it under Arteta over these last few games. And for me, well done Arteta for convincing him to stay at least until the summer. Very important, because there's nobody right now who can do his job the way he does it.
If he's convinced him, that's for sure. We'll see. Kev, what do you think about Xhaka?
Well, Arteta likes him, so he wants him to stay. I've got no problem with that. I just think if we're going to really challenge, I don't see Granit Xhaka being in the team myself. So I'm willing to give it a little bit of time and watch this space, because I think when you look at Arsenal from the midfield, we're not dynamic enough. And that's what we do need. We need dynamism in the midfield, centre midfield. We need people who can be able to run past people. And that is not Granit Xhaka. So for now, he's playing well. He's doing okay. But, you know, it is
just not long term. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, darling.
We're on the same page, Casey and I. We're on the same page about Xhaka.
Right. Fergus, just before you say anything, I disagree with Sophie. I was at the game that day and we still argue about it to this day, okay? So she believes that we, as fans, treated him disgustingly. I think he treated us disgustingly on the pitch. But what's your take on this?
On that day, I was in the North Bank and some people started jeering him when his number went up, and it could have been Emery made a substitution when he shouldn't have, when he doesn't normally make a substitution. Saka was coming on. It could have been many reasons, but I turned around to some people around me going, a bit out of order. But then when he walked that slow, turgid thing and then started jeering us and effing us off and stuff like that, then at that point, I actually did turn on them then. Xhaka, as a player, I think I love his steel. I love his passion. I think he can be a great footballer, but not in the Premier League. And definitely from that day, not in an Arsenal shirt. I saw him yesterday. He takes 2-3 touches before he moves a ball on. He slows our game down. The amount of times when Martinelli came on and even Pepe, they're making runs and so on. And he has to take a ball and he's sideways, backwards. No, not for me. And the quicker he's out of the club, the better. I am just disgusted that he's back in an Arsenal shirt.
Okay, very strong opinion.
Excuse
there on
me, disgusted that he's back in an Arsenal shirt. That is just so dramatic and unnecessary. I mean,
why?
When you think about how, excuse me, let's look at some other players and their behaviours and how they've performed and played. Why do we always have to have a full guy? First it was Xhaka. Now slowly it's been building towards Lacazette. A little bit now with Guendouzi as well. You know, Arsenal fans have behaved really badly and they treated him really badly.
Agreed.
They bullied him and his wife online. He lost his head in a moment, which a lot of freaking people do across all walks of life. And I think that to kind of say that you never, and Amanda said the same thing. She goes, I don't want him to be my captain. I don't want to ever see him in an Arsenal shirt again. Well, you know what? That I don't want to see some Arsenal fans ever go to the Emirates again. You know, they behave badly. So to kind of say that we don't want to see him in an Arsenal shirt again, when, you know, life is weird and it throws a lot of different challenges your way. And when the club put the world on his shoulders, made him the scapegoat, you know, I think that Xhaka's actually handled himself really well and deserves a little bit more respect.
To come back to you on that, I actually agree he does deserve some respect and he has handled himself very well. I still don't want to see him in an Arsenal shirt again. For him to get berated on Twitter and other social media platforms and his wife to be attacked, his kids and so on, is absolutely disgusting. And Arsenal fans and the social media fan, the whole network of fans that are out there who... some of them wouldn't even recognise him if they walked down the street, are absolutely disgusting as well. They shouldn't be allowed. Well, you can't stop somebody supporting a team. But for me, chucking the armband on the ground, telling fans to go, you know, fox or Oscar. Yeah, do one. And
okay, what about Aubameyang then?
Hang on. And then nearly chucking his shirt down on the ground, and he thought
but
twice
he
about it. He didn't. And Guendouzi, you talk about Guendouzi. Guendouzi comes into criticism. I've criticised Guendouzi from the start. I think he's got a great work rate. I think he's a great player, but he is just a bit Jack Wilshere in the sense that he goes into tackles, pulls out of tackles, and he's got to injure himself. He runs around. He's better this season than he was last season, but he was falling to the ground, complaining to the referee all the time. With regards to Lacazette, anybody criticising Lacazette, he's unlucky. He's having a drought. Yeah, the guy put in my view, an absolute great effort in yesterday. He's a strong player. He's fighting. He's assisting. And he's my Arsenal number nine. Aubameyang, I don't know what you're talking about with the Aubameyang.
Right. Hold on. We're going to discuss this because what we're going to do, Fergus, is we're going to go player by player. Okay, because we've seen like Arteta come in and he has chosen his 11, hasn't he? It seems to be. So you two can discuss Xhaka when we get to that bit again. But at the end of the day, I look at it like this. So if you can't blanket every Arsenal fan that goes to the Emirates and says that every single Arsenal fan deserves whatever.
I never said that. I said Arsenal fans.
No, at the beginning you said... banned. You can't, you know, for a fact, I would never abuse anyone at the ground or on social media. But I'm with Fergus on this, that the fact that it's very hard, because I kept saying this to you, that when I was there, it was very different to how it was on TV. And what he did, he threw his shirt and did all that. And the problem I've got is I will give him a second chance. I'm a little bit more Fergus with Sophie on that. OK, I do believe that it's never want to see him in an Arsenal shirt again. If Arteta can turn him around, then great. And he does look like he's playing well, but I'm sort of with Kev as well. Long term, I'm not sure he's for us. But let's just go back to what we were going to discuss at the beginning. We're going to go player by player. So we all know, do we all agree that we're happy with Leno as goalkeeper?
Yes.
Kev?
Yep.
Soph?
Yes.
Right. Let's talk about Kolasinac. All I want to say is I don't know what's happened to him. He has improved about 400%. He's actually, when he crosses a ball, he actually finds a player now. So, okay, Kev, let's talk about this then. What has Arteta done to Kolasinac?
Well, I think what's he done to the team? Because we're going to go through all the players, but what Mikel Arteta has done, he has set them up as a team to, and they're close to each other, so people know exactly what their roles are. And I don't believe Unai Emery done that.
Okay, so
in that way.
He obviously didn't, because he is, to me, nearly the most improved player. The next one I want to discuss is David Luiz. Now, I never thought in my history of supporting Arsenal lately, with David Luiz in the team, that I'd ever give him man of the match. But against United, he was outstanding. He was actually a captain. He was actually what we needed in defence. So, Soph, what do you think of Luiz's transformation?
I think what Arteta is doing right now is he's managing and coaching what he knows with what he has. And in some cases, he's making lemonade out of lemons. And I think you'll find that this starting 11 is our best, right? Kolasinac, I'll give him credit. I was hard on him, but I think that he's actually done well. Luiz, I think, is someone that has shown leadership not only at Chelsea and in Brazil, but he's too inconsistent. And it goes back to what KC and I were saying about Xhaka as well. In the short term, that's fine. In the long term, in terms of who you want to be as a club and where you want to go and what you want to achieve and what your goals are they really the answer? Probably not. But so Luiz, right now, he's doing okay.
Yeah. Fergus, Luiz and Kolasinac.
Kolasinac, like you, he's improved immensely. Mm. I liked the guy when he first came, because we needed some steel, some bulk in our defence, because our team is generally lightweight. David Luiz, the last two or three games has been amazing. But I did say on Guns and Yellow Ribbons before that David Luiz, one, he's played in the wrong position. He should be more further forward in the midfield, defensive midfielder. But as the position he's playing in, you get a 2 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. Unfortunately, we had a lot of 2 out of 10s from him. And now we've had 2-3 on the bounce, 10 out of 10s. And I loved yesterday. I loved him at Man United, bellowing at people. And I loved him yesterday when he picked up that ball and went, no, that's not where the free kick is, from here. And it looked a bit more... It sounds strange saying about a Chelsea player, because I still think of a Chelsea player, but it looked a bit more like Arsenal. No, you don't bully us. We tell you what to do.
Okay, so, and then last one we're going to talk about is Sokratis. I mean, they've all improved.
What about...
In defence.
Maitland-Niles.
Yeah, no, sorry, Rara. I mean, of the ones...
Superstar.
I rate
Come on, Come on, Amanda.
I, great, Maitland-Niles. I was talking about the three bad ones. Sorry. I don't think Maitland-Niles is that bad guy. Yeah. I'm talking about the ones that we're going holding our heads with Louise and Sokratis and Kolasinac. I mean, honestly, it sounds terrible, but they have been terrible, but they've all dramatically improved. I mean, dramatically. Seriously, I was with Sophie on Kolasinac. I used to watch him. And yeah, he has got a bit of steel, but he had nothing else. Couldn't cross a ball, save his life, and couldn't find a man.
Amanda, so, do you think that's the influence of Steve Round?
Do you know what? I think it's Emery going, and I think Arteta has walked in. He has stood there and gone, listen, you either play or you don't play. I think he's got this air of discipline about him that although he comes across as friendly and very personable, and I think if we met him as a fan, we'd love him. But I reckon he goes in and throws teacups. Well, actually, he did at this...
Leeds.
Yeah, against Leeds he did. So, you know, this is what I want. This is exactly what I want. He reminds me, actually, of a mini George Graham. That's sort of very personable, but you don't mess with him. And I think what's happened is, as I said at the very beginning, if you put your arm around someone that needs it, then maybe the good will come out. So, Sokratis.
I'm going to put my arm around you, Amanda.
I'm fine. I'm fine, thank you. But Sokratis, all right, Kev, let's talk about Sokratis then. Another one that's improved.
Yeah, Sokratis has improved. Look, the whole of the back four has improved. No end. And I'm the one who said that they were uncoachable.
Yeah, you did.
Because
yeah.
once Emery tried to coach them and once Freddie tried to coach them, it seemed like they were getting worse. But yes. I think the key to all of this is we knew we were the worst team in the league when we lost the ball on transition. Now we are one of the better teams in the league when we lose the ball. As proven when you said earlier on that normally that game at Palace, previously we would have lost that game. But because we're a lot better when we are out of possession of the ball, now we could hang into games. So that's what Mikel Arteta has done to us. He's made us very difficult to break down, which is really good thing.
Yeah, bang, it's so true.
On. It is but so what about, true.
What about Maitland-Niles? I mean, I think he has played very well. I do. Who's whistling?
I just am so... Listen, guys, we need a right back. We need, and here's the thing, when Tierney's back, does he oust Kolasinac from that position? I think he now has to earn it with Arteta. I think with Emery, ordinarily maybe he just would have inherited it under Wenger, players inherited positions. But I think now what's really important, Amanda, is that players have to earn their positions. Great. And I will give this to Ashley Maitland-Niles, and I've been very hard on him. The boy has been asked to do things that are not of his ilk. What he was trained, the position that he came into the club, grew up in to become. He's been the jack of all trades and master of none. But I tell you, his progression too leads me to believe that, holy shitballs, what is this manager going to do when he actually has his own players he wants? So think about what he's doing with a broken team that we were all ready to put into the dumpster fire. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Right, so let's move into midfield, okay? And let's talk about Torreira, Xhaka, Ozil. So Torreira, I've loved since day one. I know you had an issue with him, Soph, when he went off the boil.
Yes, this is true.
I felt for him, and I could never, ever turn against him. I just thought he was going through a bad, poor run. But you know what? The effect of Emery on this club, obviously. And Torreira now... is the Torreira and even better of what we've known. And what was he like at Palace yesterday, Fergus?
Immense. And yeah. when we lost him at halftime, I think it was due to a head injury or concussion or something like that. We changed completely, and then we had Guendouzi in, and I won't go into him too much, but he's just immense, and we just look so much better. You talk about that back four, you talk about Xhaka, it all works better when Torreira is there.
Yeah. He is that glue in midfield, isn't he? He is just everything we need.
And the thing that people talk about when he was
off form, and they were talking about the papers were talking about and Talk Sport and various other media channels were talking about he wanted to go back to Italy and stuff like that. We don't know if any of that is true, first of all. Most of it is absolute horseshit.
He was upset. He was so disillusioned because why? And I just want to go back to something KC was saying. The reason why we're better without possession right now is because Torreira is being played in his natural position. So KC, exactly. And you guys, would you agree that the reason the back four's improved is because Torreira's actually doing the job that we bought him in to do, right?
That's exactly what I said 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, and but 100%. he was disillusioned. He was very close to considering going back to Serie A. You know, so it is not horseshit that he was looking to maybe move away from Arsenal, because okay, under Emery, okay. I don't think he would have been able to exist in that Arsenal ecosystem.
What I meant about that is some of the stuff that is circulated about players and what players are allegedly have said or not said and what their agents have said and not said. With Torreira, there was one guy, I don't know if he's a Spanish or Italian journalist, that was on TalkSport, funny enough, and he talked about Torreira and he said, no, he doesn't want to leave Arsenal. He is a very determined young man. He struggled when he came from Uruguay to Italy. He struggled to adapt and everything else, but he was that determined that he actually went, no, I'm going to make this work. And he's also equally as determined to make it work in the Premier League and in England. So, you know, I don't think he would have ditched Arsenal as quick as the press were saying, was my point.
Okay, so we all love Torreira. There's no doubt about that. Xhaka we've covered. But Kev, on Xhaka, look, at the very beginning of this podcast back in August, when everyone was bloody raving about Guendouzi, I wasn't. I just said, we just need to give him a bit of time because everyone was like, he's the new Messiah. I really couldn't see what everyone was going on about, if I'm honest. And now I feel a bit sorry for him. I do. I feel he needs coaching. I feel like he runs all over the pitch, like he doesn't know what he's even doing. I do feel our best midfield pairing are Torreira and Xhaka. It did worry me when Guendouzi came on, but all I would say is that we need to, I think Arteta needs to get hold of Guendouzi. That's what I think. And I think he needs to rein him in a little bit. What do you think, Kev?
I think you're right. I think what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing the development of Matteo Guendouzi.
Yeah.
He has got some very good attributes. He's got some good talent. But I don't think he knows the job enough yet. We've seen some good performances from him, but it's kind of like playing off the cuff. Whereas there's going to be a structure in which he's got to play out of.
That's the word, Kev. He's got no structure. That's exactly the words I was looking for.
But we had no structure really under Unai Emery, because at one minute he said we're going to be a pressing team, and then you know, we were so loose. So I think Guendouzi's going to learn his trade. He's a youngster. He's done okay getting in the first team squad and he'll get his games. But I do believe it's time for him to develop. And, you know, he's got to go back to the drawing board at certain times and start producing, start learning.
Kev, should he be a first team player? A starter? Or should he be a squad player?
Look, he's not a starter. And he's still young. But he doesn't know how to play the position properly yet.
That's what's gonna
be the determining factor of whether he cuts it at Arsenal or not. Because under Emery, he can get away with playing like that. Under Mikel Arteta, he's proven he can't get away with it.
I want him to make it. I think his passion and his work rate is brilliant. But I just think he's been overplayed very early on.
Yes. I agree, definitely overplayed.
Not only overplayed, Fergus, but lauded perhaps a bit too much by Emery and made to feel like he had arrived already, to the point where he started kind of, for me, expressing a little arrogance and believed his own hype. So I love that Arteta is teaching him a lesson here. He's not ready. He's not the starter. He needs a little bit more and he can become a great player.
Sophie. I think what this tells us is where we are as a football club.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You
know, whereas a 20-year-old who's come in from nowhere, all of a sudden getting lauded, that just tells us we are in a bad position as a squad.
100%, okay. Casey.
We need to move on because we want to cover the next four players. Right. Ozil. I mean, I don't know what to say because I'm thrilled because you know how much I love him. But we need to move on a bit quicker. Fergus, Ozil, do you think it's the Arteta and the fact that they played together and they know each other? Or do you just feel that he's fitting in the whole team because everyone else is bothering, if you know what I mean?
Listen, I think Ozil's a great player. I think he's a fantastic player, a world player, world-class player. But in this Arsenal squad, I don't think he actually works very well. I think the Premier League also is a bit too fast and too physical for him. But in saying that, yesterday people said he had a poor game, but I watched him, some of the work and some of the flicks he'd done off the ball. And you know what? I think the squad that we got round him is just not good enough to support a player that as good as him.
Mm. I've always said that.
If we could sell him, I'd sell him in the morning. But who are we going to have that quality? He is our best player and he doesn't perform well.
Sell him. Me and you are going to fall out. right. Let's know what you two think about Ozil. Right. Pepe. Pepe, you've always championed him that he's going to come off the bench and be this superstar. You know how I feel. I feel like we need to give him some time and some coaching and some loving. What do you think, Pepe, at the moment?
Okay, so I just want to, like, 10 seconds because Fergus and I haven't agreed, but I do agree with him. Ozil is sometimes two steps ahead of everyone else and it makes him look bad. That is, when he was at Real Madrid, he didn't have to worry about being two steps ahead because the players around him were too. So that's the challenge, right? So Pepe, I've always said that, you know, for 72 million, you've got to start giving ROI and give it quick. Right. But he's young. He's come from a different league where he was able to use his both feet without too many challenges. It's suffocating playing in the Premier League. He's not been able to kind of be consistently starting to get that flow and that groove. But obviously, we all see that he's got talent. He's able to make things happen out of nothing. Now, am I being too hard on Pepe, you guys? And you can tell me to say that hitting the post wasn't good enough yesterday. He should have scored that. But when you look at the angle of which he shot that, it was indicative of how he can create something out of nothing. But Pepe needs, okay, a good midfield support, but he also needs that Ozil role, that number 10 role, to be very supportive to him too. So this is why, for me, I'm up for grabs with Ozil. Like, I'm sure there are better players.
We're talking about Pepe.
No, I know, but in order to get the best out of the £72 million investment, he needs a better...
Needs service.
Yes.
He does get the service from Ozil.
No, but he hasn't.
How many times did Emery put Ozil on the bench and play Pepe and put Pepe on the bench and play Ozil?
Okay, that now we've agreed on. Together. No, we've agreed on that. But also, Ozil doesn't have the stamina. He doesn't. He was absolute garbage yesterday, to be quite honest with you. A couple of flicks. He was. He created no chances. You guys, how many chances did Ozil create yesterday? For Pepe, for Aubameyang, for Lacazette. He didn't do anything. We scored one goal in the first half and he did nothing for the rest of the game in a sense where I feel like we actually suffocated him because he did more defending than he did creating, which has been the argument. But Ozil doesn't have the stamina for the game. He doesn't. He can't do it. He's not ready.
Go on, Fergus.
Amanda, can I come back in on the question you asked about Pepe?
Yeah.
My daughter lives in Dresden in Germany, and her partner, Martin, is a football nut. He loves football. He's a Dynamo Dresden fan. I've been to the games over there and it's amazing. And he was talking to me when I was over there in December about Pepe. We watched the West Ham game together. And he said Bayern Munich were actually in for him, but because he's got blistering pace and he can put a ball through and he can score a goal, but he needs so much time on the ball that they felt he was too slow for the Bundesliga. And Kev, you might want to come in on this one, but the Premier League is faster than the French League. The Premier League is faster than German League. So really and truly, I watched him yesterday. He needs
one, two, three touches on the ball before he gets it onto his left foot properly. There we go. I like the guy. I thought he had actually an okay game yesterday. I thought he put the effort. He put the he put a shift in. And what we've said on our podcast before was, if a player goes onto that pitch and leaves it on the pitch, you can't criticise him. And in the all 11, 12, 13 players that went onto that pitch yesterday, in my view, all left it on the pitch and have done for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Kev, what do you think?
Right, I'm going to talk about Ozil now because you've just totally bypassed me on Ozil.
Yeah, because I know what you're going to say.
Give her a yellow card.
I'm just going to say, look, Ozil flatters to deceive sometimes, but he has improved under Arteta. He's our most creative player. We need him creating opportunities. That's what everybody's talking about. And when he doesn't create, we struggle at times. So I'm pleased to see him improving under Arteta. But in long term, I don't know whether Mesut Ozil's the answer. I don't know. As for Pepe, I think Pepe is another one. He's a development player. He comes from France, came in, obviously slower league, different football. But I think he's improving slowly but surely.
Yep.
Pepe against Manchester United was fantastic. There was nobody saying, oh, he's taking too many touches, etc.
Luke Shaw's still on the Holloway Road, isn't he, Kev?
Exactly. He looked very dynamic, but it's going to take time for him to be consistent. You know, there's players in the team who have played in the Premier League quite a while who ain't consistent in Arsenal, so let alone Nicola Pepe. So I see good things down the stretch for Nicola Pepe.
Would you choose Pepe or Zaha if you had 72 million or 80 million, give or take a few million quid?
I was all in on Zaha, obviously because he knows the Premier League. But the fact of the matter is, we didn't sign Zaha, we signed Pepe. And when I see what the skill set Pepe's got, I believe once he develops and he starts understanding what is required, he is going to absolutely destroy certain fullbacks. He's going to destroy them.
Okay. He's only been here 6 months.
It's true. And that's
same way Jovino
we need
did.
To give him time. No, we need to give him time. We've had a different manager. It's nothing to do with Jovino. Right, we need to move on.
He's on his third manager, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. We need some stability, and that's what we've got now. And then we're going to see if any of these players are going to make it with him. But let's talk about Lacazette and Aubameyang. First of all, Lacazette, and we need to go quickly. I feel the treatment Lacazette is getting from some fans on social media and in the ground is really unfair. That boy puts a shift in every
in the ground
game. Yeah, well, where I sit, I'm not talking about, sorry, I shouldn't blanket like that, but where I sit in the ground and I sit in the stand upper, Lacazette is getting a bit of a, you know, they're losing, what's that word? You know what I'm trying to say?
Losing patience.
That's the word. They're losing a bit of patience with him because he's not scoring game after game. I think it's so unfair. I think he does not stop, and I argue continuously.
Have you had a barren spell, Kev, where you didn't score a goal? Did it happen?
You know what our fans, you know what football fans are like. They're impatient all the time. They won't give a chance to Pepe to come good. They won't give a chance to Lacazette to gain his form back, you know. But as you just said, he leaves it all on the pitch. He doesn't stop. Go on, Kev.
I've had barren spells, of course. As a striker, you have to have a barren spell to gain the experience of how to get through it. And if you remember a few seasons ago, you remember Aubameyang got a penalty and gave it to Lacazette, and that kind of kick-started him. I think it was we played Watford at home or somebody like that. Got a penalty, and everyone was moaning about Aubameyang should take it. He's give it to Lacazette. And then as soon as Lacazette scored that, he went on a run of scoring goals. He needs a goal. But do you know what he does? He is essential for the team because his hold-up play and his work rate is immense. And people,
100%.
Certain people don't understand what actually makes the team function.
Yes.
Yep.
And he makes the team function.
Are we all in agreement with Kev on this?
Absolutely, especially with a coach like Arteta. Like when you look at how Pep has managed and what City do and what they ask of some of their forwards and creative players to do, 100%.
Right, okay, so let's move on.
He's my Frenchman number nine. Plays for Arsenal red and white. Scoring goals is what he does best. And he goes by the name of Lacazette. And no, I haven't.
You think I've been drinking.
I love that song. Right, the last one, Aubameyang. Listen, all I can say is, for me, it was a red card yesterday. I felt he was unlucky. He was distraught when he walked off. It will give a chance to Martinelli. But my dad has got a question for all of you. He has just WhatsApped me after telling me that Villa are losing 5-0 to City. 5-0. It could be more. Oh, it's 5-0, yeah. Right. My dad says, love to Sophie and everybody. But the question for me to ask all of you is Eddie Nketiah good enough to play instead of Aubameyang at any time while in suspension, or do we go with Martinelli? So we have to be quick. I'm going to ask you, Fergus, Martinelli or Nketiah?
Martinelli.
Kev?
Martinelli's ahead right now.
Okay, Soph?
Martinelli all day long.
Cool. I think what we do is we have Martinelli, and I agree with all of you, and have Nketiah on the bench because he's got definitely got potential.
I'm
as
actually
well.
Excited to see what Martinelli does in the team without Aubameyang, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Amanda, you picked me up on the pronunciation about I say Socrates, you say Socrates.
Yeah.
It's Nketiah, by the way.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, don't worry. Listen, it took me a year to say Aubameyang properly. I used to call him Uber, Alba.
She called him Uber. She ordered an Uber when she wanted to actually say Aubameyang. And Socrates Papastathopoulos. I taught her that a long time ago.
She taught me that. And I've probably said.
I'm never saying that.
No, just say Socrates and that's enough for Papa. So we've gone through them all. Okay. And we've sort of clashed a little bit on Xhaka, but what we don't clash on is
what about the subs?
We haven't got time, but let me just say something. Yeah, what we don't clash on is Arteta, and I swear this was my hashtag, the Arteta effect, but I do believe that he is definitely affecting everything for the good. Do we all agree? Are we all happy with the way it's progressing?
Yeah, I'd like to say something quick about Aubameyang. He's not very likable. I don't like him.
Really?
No.
Really?
I don't feel like that at all.
I don't. I love what he does for the team. I love the results that he gets, the goals that he scores, the fact that he's able to score so many goals in a depleted, broken side. But KC, I loved watching you play. I loved watching Wrighty play. There's certain players I just love watching them play. I love them. You know, I love Thierry. I love Dennis.
Why don't you like Aubameyang?
He's not likable to me. There's something about him that's disingenuous. There's something about him that I feel that he's not really tied to Arsenal. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. It's my Greek intuition. And I'm just saying that he's not likable. I like what he does for the team, but I can't endear myself to him. He doesn't endear himself to me. There's something about him. Is that harsh, you guys? I don't know.
I'm the opposite. I think he comes across as a really nice fella. Really, really nice fella. A great footballer. Yes, I get that he's modern footballers now, they don't care about who they play for. They just get the paycheck. But I do think he actually enjoys what he does, and he enjoys playing for Arsenal and playing for the Arsenal fans.
Okay, Kev,
I'll add to that, actually, Fergus. I think what's happening now with Aubameyang is really important that he came out. Remember, there was a lot of speculation about he wanted to leave Arsenal and all this.
Yeah.
And he came out and he said, no, I am not interested in leaving. I'm captain and I'm happy here, et cetera, et cetera. Well, look, we don't know what's going to happen. He's only got 18 months of his contract left, et cetera. But for a player of his ilk to come out and squash the rumours where normally players would just keep quiet so fans could talk about it, I think that shows the respect he has for Arsenal. As for what you said, Sophie, look, everybody's different. I love Aubameyang. I think he's bought into Arsenal. Him and Lacazette have got a lovely relationship. And, you know, we were talking about We've not seen a relationship like that, like two players, front players,
yeah, since myself and Wright. I like, that. I like that part. Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
exactly. But obviously, that's your opinion that he doesn't endear himself to you. But at the end of the day, Sophie, just like anything, all we need him to do is score goals. Yeah. And that's what he
I just
does
don't think fun. He should be Arsenal captain. I really don't.
And that's fair enough. That's your opinion, my dear. No problem.
Yeah. What about the other four captains? And why have we got five
None
captains?
Of them. Oh. None of them. None of them deserve to be captain.
We haven't got five anymore.
We haven't got 5 minutes anymore, but let's go on to predictions, okay? So what we do, Fergus, is we're going to predict for Sheffield United and Chelsea. So I'm going to go to Kev first. Kev, we play Sheffield United 3 o'clock on Saturday, which is lovely for a change. And then Tuesday night away at Stamford Bridge at 8:15. I don't know why it's so late, but hey-ho. What's your prediction for Sheffield United on Saturday?
We owe them. We're gonna beat them. I'll say we're going to beat them 2-1.
Okay.
We definitely owe them. And the Chelsea game, I'm going to go for a draw.
One-one. Okay, Soph, Sheffield United.
Yeah, we owe them. And they're getting big for their boots. I can't believe they're above us and above so many teams. What an amazing job they've done, to be honest with you. Wolves syndrome, Bournemouth syndrome in their early years in the Premier League. I actually think that might be a draw, 2-2.
Okay, and Chelsea away.
I think we'll beat them. I think we'll beat Chelsea 3-1. They're not good at home. They've lost three out of their last four. They won yesterday against a very poor Burnley team, but when challenged, that team has flaws. And I think Arteta can expose those flaws.
We got Noba.
No, we've got Martinelli. I'm telling you this kid is going to.
He was electric for 10 or 15 minutes yesterday.
The dude is amazing. He's the most exciting player, young player at Arsenal since Anelka.
What is your prediction for Sheffield United at home?
I'm bringing my grandson for his birthday. I'm trying to get a meet and greet.
Are you that old, dude? How old are you?
No, I'm not. I'll be 49 when Kev is 50. I just started early.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That means that you're going to definitely have someone looking after you and you can't pick up your Arsenal mug to have a cup of tea.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, and he's a gooner through and through. He's going to be 11.
Prediction.
Sheffield, 3-0 to the Arsenal.
Okay, and Chelsea?
Like Sophie, I agree that Chelsea are poorer at home, and the fan base at the Bridge are putting pressure on them, so they're easily beatable. And not easily, take that back. They are beatable, and I am going to go for 2-1 to the Arsenal.
Okay, interesting. So you and Soph are similar, but me and Kev are similar. I think we're going to beat Sheffield United 3-1 on Saturday. I do think we owe them, and I think that we're owed a very good performance at the Emirates again. Chelsea away, can't see us beating them. I've gone for 2-2. I already wrote these predictions out before you all said anything. So Kev's 1-0, I'm 2-2, and you and Soph think we're going to win. It's very close, isn't it?
Me and Soph know, you know what I mean?
I hope you're right. I don't hope you're right. I actually hope Fergus is right, because you think we're going to draw on Saturday, Soph. I hope we're not going to draw. Anyway, so, you know, we've tried to fit it all in. I know we've run over a little bit of time, but it's been really interesting to have everyone's opinions on where we're progressing, what we need, what everyone feels. But Fergus, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for having me.
Thanks, Fergus. Thank you very much, mate.
Thanks, Super Kev.
Give your podcast a plug.
If you want to listen to another podcast, don't stop listening to Highbury Squad, because it's brilliant. I run a podcast. We do it on YouTube and on all the audio versions. It's called Guns and Yellow Ribbons. I'm joined by quite a few people. We have a laugh. We're just Arsenal fans, by Arsenal fans, for Arsenal fans. Not to make a fortune, not anything else. It's just a hobby, and we love Arsenal.
Oh, we love Arsenal too. Kev, thank you so much for managing to come on. We've missed you.
I've missed you too, Amanda, Sophie, and Fergus. Thanks for coming on. I love my pod sisters.
I love my pod brother, my boy, Casey. Hitting.
And Happy New Year, Kev, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Kev, here you go. Are you going Burnley away?
When is it? Is it a Saturday or Sunday game?
It's the weekend of our birthday.
No.
Ah, shame.
What a shame.
I'll be too busy celebrating.
The big one, isn't it, Kev?
Oh, it's brilliant.
I'll be watching it.
Brilliant. Right. You're going to be in the 50 club with me, Kev. Aren't you?
50 club. Don't give me none of that. No.
You're going to be in the 50 club.
So, 49 plus one, darling.
Yes. Plus yeah. One. Yeah. Listen.
It's 49 defeated.
49 plus one. I can't sing that anymore about myself because I'm 50. Right. So you can go and have lunch in La La Land and have a few more drinks.
It's not even brunch time. It's only 10 o'clock yet.
It's dinner time here. But thank you for all your questions. I tried to get as many in as I could. It was really great that we had so many. And we'll be back after the Chelsea game, won't we? And let's just hope, yeah, we keep progressing, but we actually can play for 90 minutes.
Oh, Amanda, can I say really something good that I'm really maybe excited about? So it's MLS Media Day this week, which I'm going to. It's being hosted at LAFC Stadium. I'll see Mr. Carlos Vela and a whole bunch of others. But there's a rumour going around that the king might be there.
Oh, my God.
What would I do? What? How? Yeah.
If Thierry's there, you just have to get over the line and go and see him. You just have to.
I know. I may have to get KC on the phone.
You're on the Highbury squad. He'll love it.
Yeah, I'm going to get KC and Amanda on the phone and I'll just be like, you know, I'm going to make it happen.
WhatsApp us, definitely. Yeah. Right, everyone, thank you so much. Always Arsenal.